Ivy Podcast. Learn from the business titans in areas of strategy, innovation, negotiation, and all things leadership. We interview the Ivy League, Fortune 100, and top startups of the world. Now, here's your host, John Karsibayev.
So my guest for this episode is Jason Lim, the founder and CEO at Gig Consulting Group. With years of experience managing finance operations and coordinating process enhancements, Jason has maximized workforce productivity and mitigated risk across multiple channels. He actively enhances contract negotiation and improves build-out of business framework. He directs ERP system implementation and executes due diligence evaluations. Throughout his career, Jason has been acknowledged as a goal-oriented professional consistently committed to identifying shared business objectives and processing analytical data. He has generated dynamic business reports and assessed financial growth. All accumulated experiences enable him to be a better coach, helping finance people who are looking beyond career as an ordinary bean counter, but involved in outstanding business partner. Welcome, Jason. Glad to have you on the Ivy Podcast.
Hey, John. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for this opportunity. Glad to be on your podcast.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm glad we got a chance to reconnect. So a little background. Jason and I both have attended the Harvard Business School together in the same graduating class. It's been a blast. It's been a very enlightening and learning experience. Can you share what were some of the most memorable moments or learnings from HBS time for you?
For me, I went to HBS with three questions in my mind. One is, what is my purpose, and where do I go from here? Basically, that was the three questions that I had when I went to HBS. And then when we first went there, Sunil basically gave a speech that said, oh, this will be a transformation experience and things like that. Okay, I was skeptical. I was like, okay, we only have a few months there. How are we going to be transformed? But he kept to his promise. I felt that I came back with a different level of knowledge, understanding, basically knowing what I want to do, basically have a goal and then have a passion to do what I want to do, and then with the tools and the skills to do it. So that was like, wow, I didn't expect that. So as you know, during HBS, I also set up a company, which is an evidence that I learned something from the HBS program. Yeah, so, and then of course the professors are great, the dynamics in the classrooms, and then the case studies just help you to think. People had a misunderstanding that HBS is theory-based, but it's not. It's more like it teaches you a thought process to think through situations, right? Basically, it helps you to think rather than to give you knowledge. That's right. What I felt, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you. It's, you know, in terms of, it wasn't anything completely new, but rather shaping our thought process and how do we arrive at certain decision making. I'm 100% in agreement with you. That was one of the main takeaways for me as well. You mentioned, you know, your new company that you had started actually while you were at school. Can you tell us more about Gig Consulting? And I follow you on LinkedIn, and I see tremendous growth that you guys are expanding while adding more and more global executive coaches. What is the mission, and what are you guys aiming to achieve in terms of kind of what is the main problem that you guys are solving with Gig Consulting?
On the business side, we have two prone attached. Attack to on our mission and vision. Basically, for Gig, we set it up for B2B. Actually, I will come to this later in your next question. We set it up as a B2B. Basically, we're helping the company to solve their global coaching problems to save costs, basically to help them to develop their executives overseas, especially the MNC. Because now what happens is usually they have one size fits all, one coach coaching a lot of high potential employees. So for us, we could basically cater to them to solve their pain point is that we can have coaches in all over the world who know the local culture and could train their executives in the country for them simultaneously. So it cut a lot of costs, traveling costs and things like that. But the underlying principles of gig is to solve ageism in the corporate world or in any industries, and also return to work moms, and also career changing middle management. As we all know that AI has become prevalent, there are going to be more automations. A lot of executives are finding difficult to switch their mindset, their skill set towards to adopt this technology. So they are resistant. They do not know what to do. They are like the deer looking at a headlamp, headlights, right? So what we want to do is basically help them to transit to better place for future working environment, and help the company to transit this management. They are talents, but they just didn't know what to do with themselves now.
Correct. Yeah, that's, I can definitely see a lot of opportunity there in terms of, being flexible, being adaptable, being agile. And you nailed it on the spot when you were talking about your mission is in terms of all the advanced, technologies these days, the robotic process automation, artificial intelligence, machine learning, all of that requires, to stay on top of your game, and you have to be able to adapt quick. Otherwise, the trends will get ahead of you, and next thing you know, you're behind and you're not leading the company in the right direction.
Yeah, and to add to that, it's like I think Gig is very forward-looking in the sense that we felt that in future, permanent full-time will not be the norm, but rather project basis or gig's economy will take hold. Everybody will just like be given projects and you just deal with it, especially those emotive, non-repetitive kind of projects, because those are the jobs that automation cannot handle, but can only handle by humans, like coaching, like counseling, things like that. Because you can't have a robot or AI to coach you or counsel you. It's not going to work because there's no emotional attachment there. So things like that will be a growing industry, but things like those require non-emotive, repetitive, or those kind of work will be automated, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, emotional intelligence alone, that's something that, the robot can't teach. Yeah, exactly. So that's absolutely a really good example. Kind of just a follow-up question to what you were just talking about. It seems that one of your go-to-market strategies is to hire the coaches that are local to a particular region, so that it's more localized approach to every executive that works in that area. Can you talk a little bit more about that approach? Is that essentially what you're trying to do to build that localized inventory almost of executives?
Yes, that's one approach that we are taking, but why we are engaging or hiring coaches in globally or in local settings is that we are targeting countries that are growing, that will see a lot of this automation happening, and then we'll see a lot of middle management that will be transiting. And then on the other aspect, those countries that also transiting between from result-oriented to people-centric. What do I mean by result-oriented is a lot of companies or a lot of countries, they still have the culture that just result. They don't care about the humans in the process or in the organizations. But we're seeing more and more companies are changing their way of doing things, their culture. They are getting their people involved, but they're not preparing the managers or their executives to do that. The executives are not prepared to change together with the organization culture, in the sense that they're not ready to become people-centric. They are still result-oriented. So how do they do it? It's not just a switch of mindset that easily. They need help. They need some coaching. They need somebody to guide them towards that path. As we experienced it in ourselves in HBS, the coaching that were given to us also help us to make the approach to a certain path that we need to go. We are not pushed into that path. We didn't even know how to get to that path. But with coaching, it just helped us to see the path more clearly and how we can take that first step toward that path. That's what we're trying to do when we hire all the coaches in the different countries.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I think nothing beats that localized expertise, knowledge, you know, of not only the domain expertise, but also really understanding how to do business in that particular culture.
Exactly.
That's extremely important. So I think your approach is, you know, very spot on. You have extensive experience leading global organizations, working for big corporations. I'm curious, what made you decide to get into independent consulting as kind of this career coach, as executive coach? What was the motivation there?
I think everybody have their own path and purposes. For me, it's like I say, I went to Harvard with three questions in the mind. Second question was, what is my purpose? Why did I have that questions in my mind? Because I've been in the commercial world for 20 years. I ended my career before I went to Harvard as a group CFO. And then I think to myself, is this what I really want to do for the rest of my life? Although I'm successful in my own way, but it's not something that I wake up passionate or I wake up like, whoa, let's get to work. I love this. It just didn't have that spark. It never had. So I decided to re-examine what I want to do. So the Harvard came at the right time for me to do that. And during the Harvard, I discovered that actually I've always been a supportive team leader all along. And then I see from the interviews that we were supposed to do with our friends and relatives and colleagues, it just showed that it confirmed, it gave me affirmation that that's the path that I should take it seriously, because that's all along I have been doing that. I've been coaching people on the side, talking to them, basically helping them to find their way, to find a path, and things like that. So actually another story why I chose coaching, because it's like either I become a coach or I become a pastor in a church. But then my uncle, who is a pastor, said, nah, don't waste your commercial experience, go and become a coach, go and help other people who need your help, to basically use my experience as a coach to help people to find their way. So that's why I chose to become a coach. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. What a story. And it almost sounds like you've been doing the coaching all your life, all along, is now just taking that next step and making it more formal as a business. So that's, you know, that's impressive. Kudos to you for that. So what have been some of the most challenging coaching projects that you have undertaken? And what made them so challenging in particular? And how did you develop the strategies to deal with that? Would love to hear any examples that you may share that you may have recently worked on.
I mean, coaching is a very personal thing, because coach, like I say, there's no one-size-fits-all type of coaching procedures or things like that. We know, we learned a lot of different techniques, that's for sure, but it's just that you just have to choose the right one at the right time. Basically, at the end of the day, it's about rapport with your client. It's about asking the right questions. It's about asking the hard questions. It's about helping your client to find their purpose, their way, through questioning, not through not through instruction or advice, if you know what I mean. Because as coaches, we are not there to give you advice or what to do. We are help you to, we are walking with you along this path of discovery, on this journey to discover about yourself, about what you want to do with your life, personally, professionally, or whatever. And that's basically our goal. Our goal is not to give you advice to say, oh, you should do this, this, and this. But then what we do is that we will ask you, why do you want to do this? Why do you want to do that? And then we'll basically help you, guide you along just to discover your path. So basically for me is that coaching is basically very different from mentoring. So we not here to do the mentoring, but then to help you with the transitions that you need, or give you the extra push to lead you where you want to go. Yeah.
Got it. So essentially you do draw the line between the coaching and the mentoring, and it sounds like a lot of prep work goes into for every client that you prepare for. Highlight is that, you know, also asking the right questions, making sure that, you know, you guide the conversation in the right direction.
Yeah. And then back to also the hard cases. Basically, the hard cases are clients who are not receptive or who are not open to changes. Okay. They are inside a hard shell that we need to break the shell slowly, gently, without breaking them. So it's like we need to help them to come out of their shell. We need to build the rapport. We need to build the trust. Otherwise the client will not talk. Because if they don't talk, they don't tell you exactly what they think, coaching will not work.
So let me just jump in to hear something you just said. It seems that some executives, they don't necessarily know that they need the coaching, the executive coaching. So how can these professionals discover that and perform that self-evaluation that they actually need coaching? Do you have any advice for those type?
I mean, it's very easy. It's like when you know that you need coaching is when you just don't know what to do with yourself. You don't feel motivated at work. You don't feel at all. You don't feel happy. You don't feel delighted. You just don't feel. You're just going through your work on autopilot. You're just so good at it, you're just doing it without even thinking. That's when you need to think, is this what you want to do for the rest of your life? You're good at it, yes, for sure, but is this what you are doing that's something fulfilling? Or is this what you really want to do? Or is there better things that you can do? And then it's like there are professionals who maybe want to jump from middle management to C-suites maybe, or senior management. Let's not jump that far. Just senior management. How do I do the transitions? Where do I need to improve? Where do I go from here? Or am I managing my network correctly? And things like that. It's like that's why I say is that we have a lot of technical skills. We have a lot of technical knowledge. But you just said, depending on the situation, then we just help the person. And how the person know, you will know, you have a burning question in your heart that is like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. What am I doing here?
So a lot of self-discovery and really asking yourself, is it really something that, you know,
correct,
I enjoy, and do I actually bring certain value out there? Or is it just being almost like a robot that does repetitive tasks?
Exactly. And then it's like, and as senior managers, senior leaders, you will identify those people too, that under your leadership, you will know that these people are talented, but that something is not linking link but it's not connecting that from their performance to their skills to the level that they could achieve, that they need to be developed. So that developed part is where the coaching comes in. And senior leaders play an important part. Not all senior leaders could develop leaders, mm-hmm. but senior leaders could identify that the leaders need help and they can get somebody to help them. That Absolutely. Is what a leader would do too. Yeah.
Yeah, to, foster others and, give them opportunities to grow as well. And I think the other kind of point that you had made indirectly, it's also for the senior leaders or whoever that seeks out coaching is really to recognize the fact that they're not perfect. They don't know everything. They need improvement. So I think that's, you found the right, gap to fill. So how do you attract the top talent to join your company? How do you hire and what have been the most challenging roles to fill for you?
Most challenging roles, coaches, of course, because we are a new startup, never heard of us, don't know what we are doing. So it's like I have to talk to each of them and then convince them of our mission, visions, and get their buy-in. Because it's like it's only when they buy into the visions and missions that they will work together with me in alignment towards that goal. So I'm very lucky to approach many, many coaches, and some of them accepted my invitation to join Gibbs for Coaches, which is the subsidiaries of Gibbs Consulting. So this platform is basically allows these coaches to showcase their skills, the contents, and also it will be a safe platform for them to store whatever their clients' case notes and things like that, and then for the clients to access their own case notes. So given that they will have more access, they have access to bigger audience or bigger client base, that's why they are willing to join us too. Mm-hmm. And for Gibbs, we also very careful of the coaches that we engaged. We make sure that they are verified, they are saying they are basically had the right capacity to be a coach, because it's very important in that sense. I know there are a lot of people who call themselves coaches, but they do not know what they're doing. That's so that I have to ensure that is taken care of. So when the coaches coach the clients, they really know what they're doing and helping the clients. Yeah. So I spend a lot of time talking to the coaches. Yeah. And then LinkedIn help a lot in the sense that I could find a lot of good coaches on their platform.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I'm in IT staffing industry, and I can definitely relate in terms of the level of effort that goes into having these conversations with the prospects and really making sure that they're bought into what the passion that or the values that you're trying to instill in your company. And yeah. I think I can only relate to how much work that is. I like to ask this question for all of my podcast guests is, what are your top two books that you always recommend to others? And why is that?
Top two books that I just read, it's called Just Start. Basically it's a great book. It's about not just waiting for the perfect time, but to start doing something that you always want to do. You take action, baby step to giant stride. Take an action, see how it goes, evaluate, take the next step, same, evaluate, and then take the next step. For me, I've been using this book basically as a guide when I did my startup, and it helps me a lot in clarifying my thinking, clearing up my thoughts and things like that. It's just like showing a path that is so easy much easier to walk. I wouldn't say so easy to walk. It's much easier to walk than if I didn't have read this book. The book is Just Start, Take Action, Embrace Uncertainty, Create the Future by Leonard Schlesinger, and Charles Kiefer. So it's a great book. I love this book. I just read it and highly recommend it. The other one that I love is called Leading with Soul. This is the book that inspired me so much to get into coaching. I think this is the book that caused a lot of problems for me. This is the book that sowed the seed of coaching inside my mind, inside my head. That's what I wanted to do as a coach. Leading with Soul by Lee Bowman and Terence Deal. Basically, it's about discovering yourself as a burnout professionals, how the coach help these burnout professionals to find motivation again, to find a purpose in life and things like that. At first, I read this book from the professional perspective because at the time, I believe I was burnout, and this book helped me to get through that rough patch. But when I read it again, I was looking at it from the coach's perspective. It's like, oh, why I could do this to help people too. So why shouldn't I do that? Or should I do that? So I keep questioning myself after that. So these two books, I really love Leading with Soul. And I bought a lot of copies and I gave it to my friends for Christmas presents. That's how much I love this book, Leading with Soul and Uncommon Journey of Spirit. Great book, highly recommended. Yeah. And it's available on Amazon, I believe.
Yeah, definitely. For the listeners, we'll include the links in the episode notes. That way you guys can see which the two books that Just Start and The Leading with Soul that Jason's talking about. So in closing remarks, Jason, is there anything you would like to share that we have not touched upon? Any advice, perhaps, or closing words of wisdom for everybody?
I would say coaching is just not for the rich and famous or just for successful. Coaching is for everyone. Even when you're just out of college, when you're just starting your career, when you're doing career transitions, everything. There's a perception that coaching is just for the rich and famous, but changing the perspective is that they could we have coaching before they become rich and famous. So we are there to help people to succeed. So when you need help, don't be embarrassed to seek help, especially the senior management, the senior leaders. They know best. They know they need help, but some of them are just embarrassed. And sometimes you need to come to terms with your vulnerability, you seek help, and when you do that, you will grow even stronger than you are. So that will be my advice to all the leaders out there. Take the plunge, face your vulnerability, get help if you need it, get some coaching if you need it. It will just help you to move up to another level that you will never haven't anticipated. Yeah.
That's great, Jason. Thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're a really busy guy, and I know there's a lot going on in Hong Kong these days, which I wish you best of luck. Be safe out there.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes.